This is A Moment's Rest, written by Upon a Painted Ocean, and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars Rebels fic, rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Callus/Zeb. Tagged, 5+1 things, mild hurt comfort, Alexander Callus needs a hug, and a nap, literal sleeping together, pre-relationship, getting together, sharing a bed, calf is not a food group, no matter what Callus thinks. Summary. 5 times Callus couldn't sleep in his own bed, and 1 time that was all right. Almost a month in, and Callus was still finding the transition to full-time rebel life a jarring one. His bruises were fading, his knee had mostly stopped threatening to slip back out of joint with every other step, and his ribs scarcely twinged at all now on deep breaths. But he still felt coiled just as tight as he had while serving as Fulcrum. Callus didn't think he'd been so tired since basic training. At least then he'd had the advantage of being so physically bone-tired, he'd be asleep practically before his head hit the pillow each night, along with every other hapless new recruit. In contrast, counting boxes of powdered eggs and crates of ration bars for inventory, interspersed with endless debriefings on information he'd already given 6 times over, was not physically taxing, and one could only spend so long in the training gym before the pervading odor of sweat and unwashed socks became worrisomely unnoticeable. It was hard to sleep with the constant feeling of having to watch your back, though, no matter how tired one contrived to make oneself. 4 roommates who watched your every move like rats waiting for the right moment to overwhelm the terrier made it very difficult to let your guard down enough to sleep. Even if the distrust hadn't been coming off them in almost palpable waves, Callus hadn't slept in shared dorms since his academy days and was simply no longer used to the presence of other sleeping, breathing bodies near his own. Callus chose to ignore how natural and comforting it had seemed to share a room with Zeb for the duration of the journey from Adalon to Yavin 4. He'd simply chalk it up to the head trauma courtesy of Thrawn. Though now his brain was scarcely less addled by lack of sleep, and he felt none of the same instinctual lowering of his guard in his new room assignment. But how much of that was justified, and how much was simply his predisposition to paranoia, given it had served him well and in fact kept him alive for the past year of constantly expecting discovery as Fulcrum, he didn't feel up to parsing out. Regardless, he needed sleep he wasn't getting. He sat yawning over the largest mug of calf he had managed to acquire, judging by the flamboyantly colored flame bird painted on the garish pink ceramic, it was likely a creation of Sabine Wren's, and not registering much beyond the drink's bitterness and the ambient din of the canteen. Which is about when the first charge went off, but then, hello? Cal. Hailing frequencies to Callus, you hear me? Individual words gradually filtered in from the general hubbub of the canteen. Callus startled out of a stupor. My apologies, I was lost in thought. He took a swig of calf and was surprised to find it had gone cold. I'll say, Zeb agreed. Looked like you were light years away. Anything bothering ya? Nothing in particular, just still settling in, I suppose. Callus yawned widely, unable to suppress it. You sure you're all right? Zeb squinted at him. That black eye of yours looks almost worse than before with the dark circles added to it. Callus shifted uneasily before Zeb's scrutiny. Nothing a good night's sleep won't remedy, he assured him with false confidence. Thank you. After individually counting 3 entire pallets of them, Callus never wanted to see another ration bar again. Unfortunately, there were still a half dozen pallets remaining to inventory, but that could wait until he became more closely associated with his mattress for at least a couple of hours. He punched in his door code with fingers sore from tearing open cardboard boxes all afternoon. The door didn't open. Callus keyed in the code again, still nothing. Invalid code hovered above the display. He didn't think he was tired enough for the numbers to be dancing around the keypad yet, but he tried again, taking deliberate care to press the right sequence. He was sure he input the correct code this time, but the error message still flashed and the door stayed locked. Which meant the code had been changed since yesterday, though Callus couldn't recall receiving any comm update to that effect. He scrolled back through his messages on his datapad to be sure, but there were none from either the base housing officer or his roommates. But the door was remaining stubbornly locked, so at some point he'd been cut out of the loop, and Callus's suspicious nature doubted it was a case of simple oversight. He also doubted hammering on the door to be let in would net him much goodwill at this hour, from his roommates or anyone else living along the hall. Callus was halfway tempted to just pry off the keypad's casing to expose the workings and slice his way in, but that seemed even less likely to gain any shred of trust from his roommates, and at his current level of tiredness, he wasn't entirely sure he wouldn't just end up mistyping a line and completely frying the mechanism. Not that the thought of giving the room's occupants a taste of their own medicine didn't give him brief temptation, but it would look uncomfortably akin to sabotage, however petty, to the already mistrustful eyes of half of Rebel Command, and explaining himself would sound like little more than whinging. Instead, Callus leaned his head against the cool Duraplast surface of the door and gave a tired groan before turning to retrace his steps. No sense standing out in the hall all night like a stood-up date, only to give his roommates the satisfaction in the morning. He might as well do something useful, since his bed was apparently not an option. And inventorying crates of ration bars was something he could do in his sleep. C1-10P was still in the storeroom when he returned, and the droid swiveled to chirp accusingly at him. "Yes, I know I wasn't gone long enough to get any sleep. I got locked out of my dorm." Chopper whirred an appendage at him menacingly. "It's fine. One night without sleep won't kill me. And no, you don't need to go cut your way through my door with your acetylene torch. And I'm quite sure that is not a standard attachment for your model." Chopper proudly displayed the attachment in question with a demonstrative whoosh of flame. Callus looked unimpressed. "Spoilsport I may be, but Ms. Wren installed that with the intended purpose of property damage to Imperial property, which my bunk door no longer is." He quirked a small smile. The sentiment is appreciated, though. Callus returned to his room to find a bare mattress on his bunk and his roommates arranged in attitudes of studied relaxation on their own. He busied himself with removing and neatly folding his jacket, belt, and gloves and placing them on the shelf above his stripped bunk until it was clear there was no explanation forthcoming without a direct question. "Was there an incident while I was gone?" He kept his voice carefully neutral. "Huh? Oh, yeah," the seemingly elected spokesperson said casually. "Some Gano juice kind of got spilled there accidentally. Got all over your bedding. We had to strip everything." They indicated a squabbled ball of sheets under the bed. "There's no getting extra sheets from the quartermaster this time of night, but hopefully the mattress didn't get too wet." They shrugged. "Sorry." Callus didn't bother to dignify that story with a reply, but simply bent to inspect his mattress, which was, in fact, quite damp in the middle and smelled unpleasantly of Gano juice. Where they'd even managed to find enough of the stuff to so thoroughly soak the bed was a mystery. He pulled his spare blanket from the shelf, former Imperial equipment, like so much of Rebel supplies, but so patched and mended it was hard to discern its original color. by the similar blankets on their beds, clearly his roommates had no compunction about proximity to inanimate Imperial salvage, just the sentient sort, apparently. The center of his mattress was uncomfortably wet, but if he lay pressed to the extreme inside edge, he could keep well enough clear of it, so Callus did. The astringent smell of guano was unpleasant, but Callus buried his nose in the folds of his blanket and did his best to ignore it. He tried to pretend that the fabric retained a trace of its previous owner's scent, along with the scatter of purple fur caught in its weave. Callus may have been well practiced at managing to sleep in less than desirable conditions, but the building ache in his right leg from his contorted position kept him from anything more than a restless doze. There was nowhere to stretch out in the bunk, unless he wanted to be lying directly in the guano juice puddle with his one remaining blanket, and if he allowed himself to relax fully, he was liable to roll straight into it as well. Eventually, he gave up. If he were going to be this uncomfortable on the bed, he might as well be uncomfortable but able to lie flat on the floor. It would hardly be the least comfortable place he'd spent the night. Except he'd had company then, and the scant warmth of a glowing meteorite. Now he had the indifferent snores of soundly sleeping roommates for company as he rolled himself in the spare blanket and lay on the hard and half-heartedly cleaned floor. There was a draught across the spot where he lay, and Callus twitched his blanket closer with a shiver. He regretted the loss of the meteorite. Its warmth and the faint cheer of its light were about the only things to have brightened his quarters, and they had prevented many a sleepless night over the past year. He could do with them now. Better yet would be Zeb's warm bulk to lean against. They wouldn't even elbow each other in the face upon waking now. But Callus had neither of those things, and was unlikely to get them either, even if he was at this moment almost willing to be transported back to the Ice Moon, if it meant having them too. So, instead, he shoved his jacket under his head for a pillow, curled more closely into the blanket, and tried to find a comfortable position for his leg. After the fourth alarm went off, Callus conceded defeat. They were timed just far enough apart that one could slip almost into a deep sleep before being jolted back to full wakefulness, and the volume was turned high enough that even half-smothering himself under a pillow did little to muffle the noise. Short of smashing every one of his roommates' chronos, Callus would not be getting any sleep. By this point, he was too keyed up anyway, with anticipation for when the next alarm would strike, and the simmering annoyance at being robbed of his sleep. He even had the room to himself for once, given it was midday and all the room's other occupants were either on shift or recreating elsewhere, the one perk of being on the night shift for the week. But, despite the rare solitude, the utter darkness, and his utter exhaustion, it seemed Callus would not find a good day's sleep here. His roommates' parting gifts had put paid to that. Finding anywhere else on base conducive to a nap at this time of day that wasn't someone else's private room was an effort in futility. And then the fifth alarm went off. Callus didn't even bother turning it off this time. He rolled out of bed, already dressed in sweats and a sleeveless undershirt, jammed his feet into his boots, and stalked off through the halls to the training gym. From the expressions he passed on his way, he looked like absolute bantha shit, which suited him just fine, as that's about how he felt at the moment, wrung out and tired and thoroughly annoyed. Enough of the annoyance must have also shown on his face, because nobody bothered to approach him either. Callus realized when he got there that he hadn't had any plans for what to do in the gym besides blow off some steam, with the distinct possibility of passing out right on the mats. He made for the heavy punching bags, but caught a glimpse of familiar purple on the way over, and changed course towards the one being he actually felt like interacting with at present. Zeb's face lit up. "Cal, I thought you were on night shift." "I am. Couldn't sleep." Callus picked up two wooden practice staffs. "Spar with me. Might tire me out." "You look pretty tired out already, Cal," Zeb said, squinting at his even paler-than-normal features, against which his freckles stood out starkly. "You sure you wouldn't rather go back to your room?" Callus gripped his staff in a white-knuckled grip to keep his hands from shaking. "Evidently not." He grinned, though it looked more like a rictus. "Best of three." They didn't even make it through one bout. Callus stumbled, his reactions sluggish and coordination off. He overcompensated for his weak knee, lost his balance, and caught the full force of Zeb's well-telegraphed sweeping blow to his upper arm. The force of it sent him crashing to the ground. Zeb darted forward before Callus even hit the mat. "Karabast, Cal, I'm sorry. I thought you were stepping back into the next form. Let me see your arm. Can you move it?" His hands hovered over the injured limb, not daring to touch. Callus levered himself up from the mat with a groan, arm hanging limp by his side. Zeb, I missed my footing. It was an accident. I've had worse beatings. I'll be fine." He rubbed gingerly at his upper arm. Zeb's ears still drooped miserably. "You aren't moving it, though. You sure you don't need to go to medbay?" "I'm sure." He rubbed ruefully at the arm still, trying to massage some feeling back into it. "It's just a dead arm. It'll pass. Just another bruise for the collection. I'd almost run out." He smirked at Zeb. "You really want to make it up to me?" Zeb nodded. "Buy me a cup of calf from the good canteen, and we'll call it even." Zeb chuckled and slung an arm around Callus's shoulders. "All's forgiven if I enable your self-destructive tendencies, hey? All right, but you're letting a medroid scan you too." Callus grimaced. "Very well," he said around a yawn, "after I've had my calf." There were too many people in the room when he opened the door. It wasn't any more crowded than usual, though. In fact, it was precisely as crowded as usual, because every bunk was occupied, including his. Callus would have checked the room number, except his keycode had worked first try, and there were his spare clothes, and his first aid kit, and the little model VCX-100 Zeb had given him, all sitting in a neat row on the shelf above his bunk, which was occupied. "What, are we playing Goldilocks and the Three Bursas? There is someone sleeping in my bunk," Callus said, without a speck of humor in his voice. "Oh, hey, Callus," said one of his actual roommates, not even bothering to look up from their holovid. "We didn't know if you'd be back tonight, so we said Trico could take your bunk. You don't mind, do you? Since you can just go crash with your boyfriend and all." Suppressing the urge to grind his teeth, Callus kept his voice perfectly level. "I believe common courtesy is to at least ask the owner of the bed before lending its use." The same roommate shrugged. "Yeah, but you weren't around to ask, so..." "Drop your comm in the fresher, did you?" Callus couldn't help the acerbic note that crept into the bit-off reply. His roommate had at least the grace to look somewhat abashed. "We didn't want to interrupt your work." Callus actually rolled his eyes at the likelihood of that being the case, but rather than continue the pointless discussion, he simply turned sharply on his heel and strode from the room. He'd waste more time reclaiming his bunk from his obdurate roommates than he would seeking alternative accommodations. Callus considered his options. The ghost was not one of them. It had only just arrived back on base from a mission this afternoon, and he wouldn't impose on Zeb like that. Any common area or rec room was likely to involve interaction with other people. He'd been summarily banished from the intelligence suite for the night after overstaying at the end of his shift again. That gave him an idea, though. It was an open secret among the staff that the supply closet at the end of the intelligence corridor was an ideal spot for certain extracurricular liaisons while on shift. If it was large enough for that sort of thing, it would have space for a single sleep-deprived former fulcrum. When Callus reached the closet, it wasn't even locked. Office supplies were not high-security priority anyway, and the lock had long since been disabled for ease of access by those not in search of office supplies. Once inside, the crowded space dimly lit by glow strips set around the door, Callus jammed a mop handle under the doorknob to make it marginally harder to open, and took off his jacket to fold into a makeshift pillow. Bending to lay it out on the floor, he discovered other occupants had been slightly more prepared and left a sleeping bag stashed on one of the lowest shelves. Having already lowered his standards sufficiently tonight, Callus spread that out as well. He crawled into the sleeping bag and lay surrounded by shelves of processor parts and graph flimsy, trying not to think about what other purposes the sleeping bag had been put to in the privacy of this closet, and about how much he wished he were also engaged in similar activities, or with whom he'd like to engage. Despite what his roommates might think, it was only idle fantasy. One that lulled him into a pleasant sleep. Callus was surprised when he woke up to find himself feeling better rested than he had, possibly since he had arrived on base, or even since he'd begun sleeping with one eye open as Fulcrum. Maybe he should just move into the storage closet permanently. He'd be out of the way, no need to watch his back as he slept, some measure of privacy, the one thing he'd admit to marginally missing from his days as an Imperial, and the door to the closet jerked open, despite the mop handle jammed against the knob. There was a brief glimpse of two flushed faces and rumpled flight suits before it slammed with a breathless, giggled apology. On second thought, perhaps not. Callus rolled up the sleeping bag, returned it to the bottom shelf where he had found it, and tried to smooth his hair into some semblance of order before emerging from the closet. It did make for an easy commute, though, barely 20 meters up the corridor. He was back on Baron. It was cold, and every breath he took seemed to draw the cold deeper into his lungs. The snow was soft as he curled deeper into a drift in a vain attempt to retain the last of his body's feeble heat. It was getting difficult to trace a complete line of thought as his very mind seemed to be clogging with ice, but he knew he was alone. He hadn't been, he struggled to recall, but now he was. Callus awoke in frigid darkness, racked with shivers. He cast about for the meteorite, but the comforting warmth of its glow was nowhere to be found. Nor was there any sound of an approaching ship or rescue. Just dark and cold and loneliness enough to swallow him whole. Callus couldn't help the tears that gathered at the corners of his eyes, nor the way his breath hitched. He lay shivering in desolation for he couldn't tell how long before a repetitive rapping roused him slightly. A muffled voice reached his consciousness. "Hey, Cal, did you forget about breakfast again? I saved you a pastry, but..." The door whooshed open with a sudden increase in volume. "Carabast, it's cold in here." Zeb rapidly lowered his voice when he noticed the tight bundle of blankets on the bunk. "Huh, you actually overslept? Good, you needed it. I think Chopper's been one step from drugging your calf out of concern for your organic need for rest." He placed the napkin-wrapped pastry on the neatly folded stack of Callus's clothes and turned to tiptoe out. He paused in the doorway as he suddenly registered both the temperature and the unnaturally tight-curled position Callus was in, as well as his lack of response. It was cold. Not life-threateningly, but Callus wasn't responding. "Oh, Criff, where's the criffing thermostat in here?" Zeb groped the walls around the door for a control panel. When he found it, he jacked the heat as high as it would go before stripping the blankets off the nearest unoccupied bunk. Thus armed, he crawled carefully into Callus's bunk to curl protectively around him. If he hadn't been alarmed before, Zeb certainly was at Callus's lack of reaction to the unexpected addition of another being to his bunk. Instead, the former agent nuzzled into Zeb's embrace. Warmth. Purple fur. Callus curled closer into the hold of... "Zeb, you came back." "I didn't..." "Yeah, course I'm here, Cal. I've gotcha." Zeb was here. Here was... not Baron. Callus had something important to tell Zeb. "I lost the meteorite, Zeb. I can't find it. I'm sorry, I..." He mumbled the words into the side of Zeb's neck where his face was pressed. He was suddenly desperate for Zeb to understand that he hadn't meant to leave the memento behind. The continued chattering of his teeth hindered him, and Zeb shushed him, stroking a hand through his hair. "Hey, shh, shh. Cal, Sasha, it's all right." Zeb continued petting through Callus's hair and down his back, trying to press some of his own warmth into the still trembling human. I'll get you another one if you really want. Don't want to go back, it's too cold, Callus whined into Zeb's fur as he tried to worm even closer in his hold without any of his usual coordination. Okay, we don't have to. We're staying right here for now. You'll be warm enough soon, Zeb reassured. He wrapped his arms even tighter around Callus and used a foot to pull another blanket up over them both. Little by little, Callus's shivers subsided, and he gradually took on more of an awareness of his surroundings until he seemed to realize with a jolt just with whom he was cuddling so closely. As if to give proof for his having blood to spare for his extremities now that he was warmer, he blushed to the tips of his ears and hid his scarlet face against Zeb's shoulder. Zeb kept up the same calm steadiness. Hey, back with us now? Callus nodded mutely. Any idea why it fell approximately 2 degrees away from our vacation home in here when I first came in? It took a couple of seconds longer than usual for Callus to process the question, then he sighed tiredly. Presumably the latest of my roommates' home improvement schemes at my expense. Your roommates did this? When Chopper and I get our hands at Electroprod on them? There's no way they could have known the full effect it would have. Callus shuddered. I haven't been overly fond of cold since our icy sojourn, but even myself I wouldn't have anticipated such a visceral reaction. Thank you for your impeccable as always timing, he quietly admitted. Zeb quelled somewhat. I'm just glad I was still on base. If I hadn't, he growled low in his chest. Still, Hera's gonna have words for some people, strongly worded ones. While I'm sure Captain Syndulla will put the fear of several pantheons of deities into them, I'm not sure how much practical effect it can have. Sleeping space is already at something of a premium, Callus said, in his infuriatingly rational way. You know, there's room in my bunk aboard the Ghost. Cuddles all included, if you want, Zeb said with uncharacteristic timidness. And no one's gonna be changing the codes or trashing your bedding, or setting alarms or volunteering your bunk, or messing with the aircon on you there. Not unless they want Chopper sicked on them. If you don't, that's totally fine too, I just thought. Zeb, Zeb. Callus was smiling now as he pressed cold fingers over Zeb's mouth, while Zeb kept rambling. All right, I accept your generous offer. Zeb's answering grin was toothy and wide. Oh, I wouldn't say it was made from altruism. He pressed his forehead to Callus's. Kinda the opposite. I think I'm getting the best of the deal here. Callus's laugh was a bit shaky still, but he pressed steadily against Zeb in return. I look forward to vigorous debate on the subject of your motives then. I assure you, my own are not entirely honorable. In fact, he turned his head just enough to rub his cheek against Zeb's, their facial hair and fur catching together with the friction, practically purring with the contact. Zeb answered in kind. Callus emerged from the fresher, clad only in his underwear and a singlet with an absurd feeling of self-consciousness. It only lasted until he saw the warmly appreciative look from Zeb, who was already stretched out with perfect ease in his bunk, wearing a tiny pair of shorts and a wide grin. Cal, we spent a week sharing this same room. We've seen each other in our pajamas before. As I recall, yours involved significantly more fabric the last time. Yeah, well, had to protect Ezra's delicate sensibilities and all. Zeb grinned impossibly wider. Though if I'd known you could turn that color. He waggled his ears suggestively. Callus's freckles practically disappeared in his blush. Zeb took pity on him. Ready for bed. Come here. He held out a hand. Plenty of room. Regardless of the amount of room to be had, Callus soon found himself sprawled half on top of Zeb's chest, one of Zeb's arms curled around him, and a large hand almost fully spanning the small of his back. Their legs were tangled together, his bad knee carefully braced by one of Zeb's feet, and Callus brought a hand up to clasp Zeb's free hand. This is nice. Callus struggled to articulate the full depth of feeling, but the answering squeeze to his hand told him he was understood. He woke once in the night with the lingering dark fog of a nightmare, but the steady sleeping warmth of the body beside him soon dispelled it. By the glowing display of the chrono beside the bunk, there were hours yet till dawn, so he rolled nearer to his bedfellow and sank back into sleep, a peaceful depth this time. Callus awoke next to find Zeb regarding him with an unguardedly fond expression. "Mornin', do you know you snore when you're really deep asleep?" "I've never had any complaints of it." Callus frowned slightly. "Not that I've shared a bed recently with anyone to do so." Zeb scruffled his hair into further disarray. "Nah, it's cute, like a little bursa cub." He laughed at Callus's continued pout. "But you've lost some of those shadows around your eyes, so you couldn't be one of the black and white ones anymore." Callus snuggled down with a performative huff. "Then I hope you weren't intending on moving, because I intend to hibernate here." He was snoring again in moments. The end.
We'll be just fine. We'll be just fine. We'll be just fine. I know that we will. I just know.